You are a slut pig!
Hello, y'all. I'm Christian Gray Snow, and this is the Slut Pig Podcast, a podcast from The Dip. And today, we're going to be dipping into hot topics among every current housewife city, from Potomac to New York City and Beverly Hills. Plus, we're throwing it back to the golden years of Orange County with former Real Housewives of Orange County star and Fox 5 San Diego alumni, Alexis Bellino. Y'all know what I always say, small talk, like small dicks, I hate a small dick, I hate small talk, blah, blah, blah. Let's get started.
Pop it.
Yes! All right, y'all. This week's Potomac, it popped the fuck off, to say the least. And like, you know, like Mia said, if you want to pop off, she'll get you adjusted. Well, everything popped off. We all need to go to the joint chiropractic, and all of us need to get adjusted after watching this episode on Sunday. Our girls are still in Williamsburg, Virginia for their getaway, and they're staying at... Thank you to the people on Instagram who helped locate the name of this place that they're staying at, because there were people that were wondering. It's called The Estate at King's Mill. That's the name of it. So if any of you rich folk out there want to get a little weekend getaway, that's the name for it. Send me some pictures, because my broke ass can't afford to go there. Anyway, after some water aerobics, Wendy was already upset with Giselle, because Giselle... You know, already had been like, you know, I've seen more of your body in the last few months than I've ever seen before. Da 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 da. And, you know, so Wendy was already feeling some type of way about that, right? And then we're reunited with Queen Ashley, who, you know, Ashley just had her second baby, baby Dylan. And she was like, you know what? I got my breast milk pump for the day. I am good to go. Mama's day out. I'm going to go make some mess. Okay. So Ashley hopped in that damn car. She went and did Giselle's messy work, and whenever it got too heated, she said, all right, Jizzy, you're on your own. I got babies to feed. I'm out. Bloop. So, yes, after making the trek from, you know, Potomac down to Williamsburg, listen, look, I love me some Ashley. I love her. I actually want to get her on the podcast. I would die to get her on here. I've been trying. I've also been trying to get Wendy on, so if y'all know somebody that's got a connection, hit your girl up. But she did honestly go on this trip just to drop this bomb to Wendy, obviously. I ain't mad at her. Ashley's, you know, earning her paycheck, absolutely. If it was Giselle, would I be mad? Probably. But I love Ashley, and I'm biased towards her, and nobody has earned their paycheck in Potomac more than Ashley has, in my opinion.
That's my opinion!
So, I ain't mad at her for doing what she had to do, okay? So, when she gets there, you know, she hangs out. Ashley's about to leave, actually. She says, you know, Wendy, can I talk to you before I go? And she's like, you know, there are rumors going around about Eddie. That, you know, he basically had, like, this affair. He potentially even, you know, fathered a child with another woman. And basically says, you know, like, Giselle and I don't believe this at all. Like, we don't think there's any truth at all to these rumors. But it was discussed. And we are on this show, so I gotta let you know it was talked about, okay? And that was enough. Wendy said, all right, I've heard enough. We can go have a talk right now with the group, okay? We're just gonna go settle this right now. She went in and she found the group twerking, and she said,
hey guys, since we're all twerking, I just want to have a conversation. Oh dear.
All right. So what I loved the most was that Wendy said, apparently people have been talking about this blog, you know, and what I love, she goes around the room one by one and she's like,
who is y'all? She said Giselle's name, but I don't know who it is. So you can, was it you?
Absolutely
was
not.
Was it you?
And listen, I am no Candace fan. Everybody knows this whatsoever. But her going,
I don't know about Eddie.
Cracked me up. Like, she was like, Wendy is heated right now, and I am not about to catch this. Like, it was not me. Like, Shaggy, it wasn't me. Da 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 da. It wasn't me. So, like I said, I love that Wendy did that, and it was great. But honey, nothing, and I mean nothing, lived up to her laying Giselle out flat on the floor. Here lies Shannon Medore flat on the floor. She read her entire fraudulent living alone in a cabin life to Phil. Okay. And I could not believe actually that this was Giselle's argument. This is the second horribly weak argument that I've heard from her this season. The first one was whenever, you know, Karen like gave her some little read about like, well, at least my man's, you know, dick ain't out here in everybody in Baltimore's vagina. And Giselle's comeback was, at least my man's dick works. Yeah, works in everybody but you. That's a problem. That's a horrible comeback. And then she had another comeback today or this week whenever she said, who cares if we talked about it if it's not true? That literally is the dumbest argument ever, because if you know it's not true, then why talk about it? Why bring it up on camera? You bringing it up on camera is going to make it a storyline. You knew exactly what you were doing. And it's a mess. It's a whole ass mess. And like, you know, she didn't want people to be talking about her and Jamal's fraudulent ass relationship when we all knew it was faker than Wendy's new ass. But, you know, and it's like when that was obvious and that, but yet you want to bring up something that could like literally destroy a family of with children in it, like little kids. Come on. It's bullshit. Bullshit. So Giselle, you know, like I said, she brought up these Wendy rumors. And she not only did that, but before this, she was laying the foundation of this narrative that, you know, not only was Wendy cheated on by Eddie, but it created some sort of like insecurities within Wendy that he cheated on her, so much so that she had to go and make these changes to her body. And that's why she's showing off now, like overcompensating. And I just think that's so fucking gross. Like, you can tell on Giselle's face that she does not believe this. And honestly, that makes me more sick, because it's like, you know, it's not true. You know, it's not true. And yet you sit here and just create this shit to fuck with Wendy. What has Wendy ever done to you? Nothing. So anyway, the reading continues, honey. It isn't just towards Giselle, which I'm just saying, like, I could watch an hour every Sunday of just Wendy letting Giselle know what's good. You know, but Wendy also went for Robin whenever Robin was asking, well, what are these rumors that you're talking about? What are you talking about? And part of me thinks, like, there's no way. I was thinking about this. There's no way that Robin did not know what the rumors were, because Giselle has already brought this situation with Wendy up on camera numerous times. And you cannot tell me if she's done it on camera with people that aren't her BFF. She hasn't done it off camera with her BFF, Robin, which leads me to believe that Robin and her whiskey breath were being messy, and she was trying to get the words out of Wendy's mouth saying what that blog was alleging on camera. And Wendy did not give it to her. And for that, I applaud her. She said, let your friends tell you, let your friends, the messengers, tell you, you're not getting it from me. Good for you, Wendy. Wendy tells Robin also, go eat a cracker. Which fucking killed me, because at first I didn't really realize, but again, after thinking about it, I think, is she calling Robin like a parrot? Like, she's like, you know what, you're Giselle's pet. You just repeat whatever she says. You're her little shoulder pal. You're a parrot. Have a cracker and calm the fuck down, okay? And then when she told Robin to go fuck herself with her whiskey breath.
Oh, yeah.
Y'all, the amount of times that I have thought about her saying, your whiskey breath, over the last week is honestly too many to count. Oh, God. Robin says, you know, Wendy, you shouldn't even be worried about something if it wasn't true. Like, who cares about a blog? And, like, I'm sorry, but that's rich coming from, you know, Robin and Giselle, who've both had men running around on them for the world to see. And then either stayed with him or went back to him or both. So, or in Robin's case, it's still his roommate, you know? So I'm not entirely sure they're certified to be judging Wendy being upset over this rumor coming out about this blog. Like, also, y'all are vets in the game, you know? Like, y'all are six seasons in. This is Wendy's second year. Give her a little bit of grace, you know? And it's like, the blogs are all, you know, it's hard for these new housewives to deal with. And like, she has a young family. Her oldest kid's what, like 6, 7? Like, she has little kids. I get why Wendy's freaking out. And honestly, I think she's justified in saying, y'all know you don't believe it. You're just trying to be messy and cause some shit, which is even more reason for her to be pissed off. And I'm here with you, Wendy. I'm here with you. You know, so then, you know, she leaves Robin and her whiskey breath over in the corner, and she goes right back to Giselle. She says,
but she doesn't understand the parameters regarding people's husbands, because she doesn't have a relationship that holds water.
Boom. Then she says,
I see you for everything everybody ever said that you were.
Boom. Then she said,
"What's so funny? The life you're living now is exactly God paying you back for all the bullshit you've done. So live in your motherfucking truth, Wendy, because God is paying your ass back. That's real shit."
Boom! That's some real shit right there. Like, that is some real shit. Like, I know we have housewives, like, throwing, like, lines and throwing, like, shade and stuff at each other, and we love it. Honey, that was deep. And then she says,
"You wanna fire shots, baby girl? I got the motherfucking bazooka."
Wendy was literally, she was like, "Honestly, you wanna go there? I'm already here waiting. You wanna go? I've been here waiting. Come on." I love it. She tells Giselle, "Imagine being with a man that consistently cheats on you all the time, all of Baltimore. Everyone knows it. And you still bring him around your daughters and you're still with him. Do you know how low of a self-esteem you have to have?" And look, is that a dirty, mean read? Absolutely. But she's saying, "Listen, Giselle, I'm not staying with a man that cheats on me. That's your gig. Low self-esteem, that's your gig." And great A performance to Wendy. Honestly, I don't know if they teach getting people together over at, you know, all these universities that she got her numerous degrees in, don't forget. But baby, she learned somewhere, because she didn't leave. There was not a crumb left for Giselle to even nibble on. Honey, Giselle needed to just go to bed. Giselle should have just left. In fact, Ashley got up in the middle of all this. She's like,
"All right, sorry. I'll see y'all."
And honestly, Giselle should have just got up and left right with her. There was nothing left for you to do, baby. But before Ashley gets out the door, I couldn't believe that Candace went in the kitchen and, like, confronted Ashley about dropping the rumor on the trip when she, you know good and damn well, Candace probably knows that Giselle orchestrated this. Like, even in the last episode, before Ashley showed up, there was this line, I think it was at the end of the episode, where Giselle is like, "There's going to be lots of conversation tomorrow." Like, she knew Ashley was coming to do this, you know? And so for her to, like, be mad at Candace for bringing it up, it's like, where's that energy towards Giselle? You know Giselle orchestrated this. And, like, earlier, you know, Wendy told Robin, "You want a moment so fucking bad." She said that in this episode. That's what I'm saying to Candace right here. She wanted a moment with Ashley so fucking bad. It's like, if you're really bothered by the fact that this got brought up on your trip, go talk to Giselle, because you know that she's the one that brought it up. Oh, wait, you don't want that energy with Giselle. You're not going to do that. I think her and Ashley have already had feuds in the past. It was low-hanging fruit, and I felt like she just wanted a moment in that moment, and that's what she did, and Ashley didn't really give it to her. So good for you, Ashley. Anyway, Ashley leaves. Karen points out in her confessional, Karen points out, everyone knew about this blog, but only one person decided to bring it up. Who was that? Giselle lacks Bryant. That's what Wendy called her. She said, Giselle lacks a man. Giselle lacks empathy. Giselle lacks Bryant. That's her name. And Giselle is the one who decided to bring that rumor up and put it on the cameras. And not only did she bring it up, she brought it up multiple times, because, like Wendy said, she doesn't understand the parameters of a relationship for other people. And misery loves company. Sorry, I said what I said. Overall, we're going to give this episode of Potomac 9 fucking champagne flutes out of 10. All right. Y'all, these ladies, I mean, it's like effortless for them. Like, I feel like they just don't even, like, have to try. It's like watching magic every fucking Sunday. So I can't wait for next Sunday. We get to see Karen get sworn into Surrey County as an ambassador, which is her hometown. And I don't know if y'all know this, but the county I grew up in North Carolina, the town I grew up in was in a county called Surrey County. So Karen and I both grew up in counties called Surrey County. The only difference is she's now ambassador of hers, and I am doing all I can to stay away from my hometown. So that's the difference there. It does look like the drama continues between our girl, Dr. Wendy, and Giselle next week. And it looks like Mia enters the chat with the two of them and is involved in the mess as well. So it is going to be good, and I can't wait to recap it with you next week. All right, from Potomac to Roni. Honey, it's like going from Christmas Day to the day after Christmas. It's like all the gifts and all the happiness to absolute, you know, just nothing and depression. Nothing to talk about in this episode. Incredibly boring episode. Painfully boring. Could not believe. Production. took these women back to the fucking Hamptons as if half the season has not taken place in the Hamptons. I would rather them at this point have gotten like a huge Airbnb in New York in the city and just be like, you know what? We're all going to hang out in this house for a weekend, like right here. We don't need to go to the Hamptons again. We don't. Really, the only part of this episode that I really enjoyed was Ebony telling the ladies that, you know, she found out one of the men mentioned by the genealogy expert in the last episode is her dad, and that she's connected with her sisters. And I loved hearing that her sisters have texted her and like literally welcomed her to the family. Like, that's so cute. However, you know, we talked about this last week because Ebony went into detail about this on chat room after last week's episode. So while I loved this moment and seeing her get to elaborate on it with the women, unfortunately, it wasn't something new that, you know, we hadn't already discussed on the show here. But anyway, regardless, it was wonderful. And, you know, I'm really happy for her. And I really, really want to see, like, what the latest is. Like, has she got to go hang out with her sisters? Like, does she like one of them more than the other? You know, like, what is her dad like? Does she, you know, I want to know. I want to know. So I really hope that we get updates on her newfound family that she has, either at the reunion or next season. Speaking of the reunion, are we having one? Like, you know, this week we finally heard the words we've been waiting to hear all season, which is...
Next time on the season finale of The Real Housewives of New York City.
Crazy.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Yes, that's right. Next week is somehow, y'all, the finale of season 13 of The Real Housewives of New York City. And there's seemingly no plans to film a reunion. I mean, like, Ramona's in Aspen, Lou's in Europe. Ebony's Instagram, I checked. She hasn't really revealed like where she's at. I don't know if she's in the city or what, or if she's on vacation. Sonia is in a fucking different hotel every single week, you know, staying for free because she posts them on social. And I don't really give a fuck where Leah's at. So point being, the ladies aren't even like in New York, the majority of them. So, and also like leading up to the reunion, I feel like there's always like some sort of conversation about it. Like what someone will post about an outfit option. Or something, you know, something. We've got nothing. We've got dust. We've got nothing. We're talking Tom Girardi bank account, nothing. I reached out to two people who work with Bravo. One of them is a close source to production of Roni. All I said was like, look, like, is there even like a conversation? Like, is there a time frame? Is there what is good? All I got was your guess is as good as mine. So there's that. I do think we have a secret revealed after next week's finale. And then simply we are going to be waiting like Teddy in that restaurant for Dorit to be hearing about an update on the potential reunion for season 13 of The Real Housewives of New York City. All right, going back to Cali. The majority of this week's episode of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills takes place at the spectacular backyard day party that Crystal threw for Rinna to celebrate the launch of Rinna Beauty. And honestly, that party looked amazing. I don't know if y'all paid attention to the details, but like that little cabana they had, and y'all know I love the color pink. They had like these light pink little couches. I just thought it was really fucking cute. The drink names at the bar, Dancing Queen, No Apologies, which is like, I think a Rinna lip kit name. Anyway, you know, Crystal really knocked it out of the park, and I thought it was really great. The women arrive. Everyone's looking fab. Lisa has this high pony and Versace number on. Garcelle has this all-white pantsuit giving, like, business CEO vibes. Erica has this, like, blue hair design thing and this dress. Kathy looked like a ray of fucking rich Beverly Hills sunshine. It was lovely. The ladies sit down for lunch, and I about died at the way Dorit entered her little confrontation with Garcelle. So, all right, we saw last week things were obviously going to heat up between the two of them this week, you know, and this is how it started.
Thank you, Garcelle. This was so, so, so yummy and so beautiful.
Crystal. Sorry. This is Crystal.
Hi, I'm Crystal.
This is Garcelle.
I know.
I'm Lisa.
Thank you. No, you know why?
We do it. All. Listen, we all do it.
We do. But you know, listen, Garcelle, I've been thinking about you a lot, and there's been some things that are bothering me, quite honestly.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah, I'd like to.
Dorit's like, you know what? I'm so tore up over this. That's why I said Garcelle instead of Crystal. I'm sorry. Garcelle, let's talk. Dorit basically is like, look, I think you like to throw jabs. And whenever someone reacts to the jabs, you don't like it. I'm comparing what I've seen last year and this year. You did it with me saying I wouldn't back Sutton up. Garcelle, are we friends? Blah, blah, blah. And while I love Dorit for giving us a moment, because look, it was a moment. I do wish her delivery would have been a little more natural, because it did feel like she was reaching just a little bit here. Like, I feel like I'm Shannon on that ropes course in the season 13 premiere of Real Housewives of Orange County, where she's screaming,
"Here's your core. I don't have a core, but I'm working on it."
And she's like reaching for the rope, you know. That's my girl, Dorit. She's reaching just a little bit. And y'all know I love Dorit. She's my fellow Cancer. Woo woo. She celebrated my birthday here with me on the show. But I don't agree with this particular choice of argument and delivery. Dorit then says to Garcelle, this was awful. She said, you know, it's almost like a bully. And then she says, you did it with Kyle. And then what you did in Palm Springs. And that's when Garcelle was like, all right, girl, the time to shut the fuck up. And honestly, I see why Garcelle is upset in this moment. Because, you know, we all know after the La Quinta episode, where Erica snapped on Garcelle for bringing up the fact that Tom still calls her, Rena posted on Instagram that there was this breaking the fourth wall moment that we didn't see, where Erica's like, and the producers are screaming at each other. And, you know, in this moment, you know, for Dorit to bring that up is upsetting to Garcelle, I think, for two reasons. Number one, it's in the past. So why are you bringing it up? It involved Erica and I, and she seems to be okay with it. So why is it an issue to you? And number two, it was a mess due to producer involvement. That's why a lot of shit was edited out that we didn't see. They probably had to make a decision as a cast, as producers, to put it behind them. And that's why Garcelle is saying, you know exactly what happened. So fuck you for saying that, because you know that there's cameras around and there's nothing we can talk. I can't talk about it. So fuck you. You know exactly what you're doing. And then Dorit says in this, like, it was like this very smug way. She's like, I don't actually know. And Garcelle says, fuck you for bringing that up. Fuck you, and fuck you. Garcelle gets up to leave. Thankfully, they talk her into coming back. She tells Dorit, look, we can work on making jabs if that's something that makes you upset, if you feel that that's something I do. But don't be bringing Erica into mine and your issues. To that, I say fair point. Like, she's like, look, I'm happy to acknowledge that you said I upset you, but like, don't be bringing my issues with Erica that we've already kind of gotten over into mine and your issues and creating more issues between the all three of us, because then it's a problem. Okay. And Dorit says, well, you know, it feels shitty. I'm just saying it feels shitty. And Garcelle says, look, I heard you. It'll be different going forward. And I just want to say, I love that. I think that's a line that all housewives should adopt into their daily lives in production. Like, it was just a very, like, clean, mature, like, she was like, look, got you. I'm letting you know here in front of everybody that I will make an effort to not make you feel that way again. And I'm holding myself accountable by doing it here in front of you and everyone in front of the cameras. I thought it was a very mature way to handle the situation. And it was also her being like, don't you dare fucking bring it up to me again. Then we see Kathy and Kyle talking about the setbacks in their relationship. This was right towards the end of the episode that came along in the last decade. And Kyle, you know, she details it was first brought on because Mauricio left, you know, Rick's real estate company, and, you know, he and Kyle started their own, which we all know is the agency, and that caused issues in Kathy and Kyle's relationship for the first time in their lives. And then it only got worse, unfortunately, when Kyle got the deal with Warner Brothers to do American Woman, which was, you know, a scripted series that starred Alicia Silverstone, inspired by their mom, raising Kim, Kathy, and Kyle in Hollywood. And Kathy just wasn't happy about it because she was fearful, you know, the show would somehow paint their mother out, Big Kathy, in a not so positive light. Kathy said, I had my lawyer write a letter saying you are not to use me, my family, or my kids on this show. And she said that's something that she would even do to her own kids. So basically, when it comes to Big Kathy's reputation, rest in peace, Kathy is like, she ain't playing no motherfucking game. She said,
that's my mama, and y'all can tweet, you can do whatever, but that's my mama, and you can tweet till you get blue in the face. I don't care. She can have whatever she wants. Because that's my mama.
She said, that's my mama. Y'all don't fuck with my mama, okay? Kyle reassures Kathy that, you know, look, Kathy, the show is inspired by mom, not based on her. If anything, the show that I did was a love letter to our mom. And I love that. And then we see, oh God, it just, oh, this ripped my heart into fucking shreds. At the end of the episode, producers ask Kathy in her confessional, they say, you know, do you have any regrets about the time you lost with Kyle over the decade that you two weren't speaking as much? And this is what she had to say.
What's the number one thing that you regret about the 10 years when you and Kyle were talking less?
Being together.
Oh,
so sweet, so sad, you know. I'm just so happy that these two are back on better terms and seeing them hang out, talk about the memories of their mom, you know, seeing Kyle welcome Kathy into the group, you know, filming with the show. It just seems, you know, they're in a really, really good place right now. And for that, I'm happy. God knows we all needed Kathy Hilton after this crazy ass year that we've had. So I'm just so happy for them. And now the only thing that we need is to get our girl Kim back in the mix so we can get all three of these iconic sisters together on our screens. All right, everybody, go grab your blinged out Bibles, because after the break, we're going to be chatting with former Real Housewives of Orange County star Alexis Bellino. Has this ever happened to you? You need to see a doctor, you search, you find one that looks good, you wait on hold to book an appointment, of course you rearrange your schedule, and then you finally go in and find out the doctor doesn't even take your insurance. Ugh! But there's a solution, y'all. Just download the free ZocDoc app. It's the easiest way to find a great doctor and instantly book an appointment. With ZocDoc, you can search for local doctors who take your insurance, you can read patient reviews and book an appointment in person or through a video chat. You never have to wait on hold with a receptionist ever again. Whether you need a primary care physician, a dentist, dermatologist, psychiatrist, eye doctor, or any other specialist, ZocDoc has you covered. ZocDoc is here to make healthcare easy for you. And now is the time to prioritize your health. All you gotta do is go to ZocDoc.com/slutpig and download the ZocDoc app to sign up for free and book a top-rated doctor now. And did you know many are available as soon as today? That's ZocDoc.com/slutpig. Go to ZocDoc.com and download the free app now. My next guest was first introduced to us nearly 12 years ago, y'all. Yes, 12 years ago, when she and her sinful body waltzed right into the iconic mothership installment of the Housewives franchise, Real Housewives of Orange County. Is she high maintenance? Of course she is. Look at her. I'm hoping she has her blinged out Bible with her today and her Xanax that she had to go on because of Tamara. Everyone, please welcome to the Slut Pig podcast from the Real Housewives of Orange County, Alexis Bellino. Hi, Alexis.
Hey, gang. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Good. Good.
So you and I, we chatted just a tiny, tiny bit over the weekend and you were in Chicago, right? So I thought, I just want to see, what were you doing out there?
Well, my fiance had a work convention, so I was out there. We intertwined a little bit of family and a Cubs game, of course, but we actually took his clients to the Cubs game also, but it was kind of more for work, but a lot of the spouses were going. So I just tagged along to help him with his company too.
I love that. So, okay. Well, speaking of your new man, like, obviously that's like the first question at the top of my mind. I want to hear everything about him. I want to know how you met. I want to know his name. I want to know what he's doing right now, all that good stuff. So tell me all about him.
Well, he's flying home today from Chicago. So that's what he's doing right now. And I'm working I'm sure by now back at home, but it's funny. We met at Master's Steakhouse in Newport Coast. And the reason he's with me now, I have no idea, because I was so awful to him. It's a funny story because I just tithed in church really large and told God I was going to stop dating and not date anybody else anymore until it was Mr. Wright that walked in. And I'm like, you know, I'm just going to give a 6-month break from dating anybody. And he walks in, that was a Sunday. He walks into Master's the next Tuesday and tries to hit on me and, you know, walks over. And I'm just like saying no to all the drinks that his friends are trying to buy our table. I'm saying no to everything. And my friends are getting mad at me and they're like, would you come on? You'd be a wing woman. Like, why are you being like this? And I'm like, I promise God, you know? And then sure enough, he ended up being the one. So I'm just letting everybody in America know God works fast. Okay.
Look at that. She said, put your tithes in because look at God.
this is the best part of the story though, guys. He tried to, so then they all asked us to go to this other restaurant that had live music. It's Quiet Woman. All the Housewives people know about that anyways, yeah. But from the infamous Kelly scene. But I was like, no, I'm not going, guys. I'm going to go home and go to bed. And everybody convinced me to go. Well, he tries to, because he's this huge dude, right? He's 260, like 6'5". He tries to bear press me. After I'm telling him I don't want anything to do with him, he literally has the audacity to touch me. And I whacked his hand and I'm like, don't you ever touch me, ever. And then his friend put him in timeout. And then I looked over and he's sitting in timeout, like in this booth alone. And his friend's like, you just need to, you know, she said, no, you just need to leave her alone. Like you're done now. And that made me feel really guilty. And I looked at him feeling so bad. And I walk over and I'm like, I'm sorry. Okay, let me just tell you why. And then we started laughing and we talked the whole rest of the night and have never been, I mean, it was just, the deal was sealed then.
Oh, Alexis, I love that. That's awesome. So y'all are engaged, right? So what's the status of the wedding? I know COVID probably screwed everything up.
Exactly. Because of COVID, we haven't even talked about or even tried, because all of our friends that had weddings planned are just now getting them done. And there's still all these issues and hoops you have to jump through. And I'm just, I don't know. And then there's times I'm like, maybe we just, I don't know. I'm all
honestly, over the place, what's the fucking point, if I'm being honest? Like, if y'all are happy and living your life, who cares? You know?
Yeah. And I mean, we're a long, long way from ever living fully together, because his kids are in one school district, mine are in another. We have to be kind of all over. It's just, you know, we have a very, I went from like the Leave It to Beaver, very conventional life, to a very unconventional life. So as far as like the housewife life goes, you know,
yeah.
So we're just doing it day by day and loving every minute of it. And why change something when it's perfect?
I hear you. It's good to see you. I hope it's okay to say this. Like, you feel very light and free now, you know, compared to, you know, the years that we got to spend with you. So I think that that's wonderful, you know, so congratulations. But now that we've gotten caught up a little bit, we're going to start walking down memory lane. Okay. As I said earlier, we met you nearly 12 years ago for the first time. Your first episode was season 5, episode 2, which aired on November 12th, 2009. Yes, I did my research. Your first scene, oddly enough, was you and Jim, and you went to dinner with Tamara and Simon. Who would have thought, right?
We started as friends, guys, everybody. And you need to know that Tamara and I started as friends.
It wasn't one of those things like where producers say, oh, like we kind of know each other, so we bring them in. Like, y'all were actually friends before?
No. I think they did try to make it seem like we were friends before, but she was just the one that kind of introduced me to America by that dinner. So we did kind of start out as friends at that point.
Got you. What do you remember about your first day of filming? Like, what was the craziest takeaway?
I was definitely nervous. I was definitely, you can see me evolve a little bit on camera. You know, obviously I wasn't as outgoing and zealous as some of the housewives are now who start their first film day. I was a little bit more reserved. And like you said, I'm a lot lighter and freer right now. So that part of my personality, I'm really me now. And that part of my personality is definitely coming out, where I feel like I was definitely not being my total self, not knowing it though. I didn't do it on purpose. I just literally was still only 33, had just had twins that were super young and a son. Like, I think they were four when we started filming. My son was 5. So I was just all over the place. Mm-hmm. So I was just still really trying to figure out myself as a mom, as a newly wife, but quitting my career and then starting a TV career. It was like, I was all over the place. So now, wow, I'm settled and very much wiser, I would like to think.
Do you remember how the whole casting process got started for you? Like, who was the first person that got in your ear about the show?
It was actually Gina Q. It was a true friend of ours. We did a lot of philanthropy and real estate and things like that in the community with her. And I'd seen her at Mastro's, speaking of Mastro's, several times. And this one night we're at Mastro's and she comes in and she's like, Alexis, I put your name in for Housewives. And I'm like, what? She's like, oh, girl, you'd be perfect. You got the kids, you got the husband, you got the, you know, the looks, you're good, you're perfect. And I'm like, Gina, that is so weird. And I didn't, you know, I'm like, I didn't think they'd call, but sure enough, the next day they called me wanted to meet me. So then I met, there was a couple of different, like, first I just met Kathleen French at the time, who was just the president of some sort of, I don't remember what her title was. And then the interview process started. So they send you 75 questions and it is like intense. It took me like 3 hours to fill out this questionnaire form. I had to keep going back and forth, you know, from kids to filling that out and do it late at night. It was like intense. And then you have your home. I'm sure it's different now, but it's evolved so much since 12 years ago. But then you had your home in-home interview where they wanted to see you on camera and all that. And then you have the testing film day where they just come in and they want to see what you do, how you're acting on camera, you know, and then they call you and say, okay, yes, you've got it or no, you don't. And you know, the whole time that you're running up against, you know, they're honest with, well, they were at this time, they were honest. And they said, you know, it's between you and two others. So, wow, you know, just do your best. And at that time I was really naive. And I honestly just really thought they just wanted to film my life. So I was really just me trying to be a mom and juggle all this, you know? So there was no like playing it up for the camera or trying to be bigger or better than any other of the housewives. Cause that wasn't even in my mind at that time. Like, I didn't even realize exactly what it was.
Like, I didn't even have time to think about doing that shit.
I honestly, when Gina said it, I was like, there's no way. And then during the interview process, I was like, something in my gut, I was like, I think we're going to get this. Like I think they're coming back for us. So,
wow, that's awesome. So obviously a lot of people, you know, who spend years on the show that end up, you know, divorcing, they credit their time on the series, you know, to having an effect, you know, on the relationship not working out. Do you feel that way about your marriage to Jim or no? Because y'all separated after you were off the show, correct?
Yeah, I don't. I know Jim. I think Jim has a little bit of a different feel about this, but I don't at all, because we were already in therapy pretty much our whole marriage, like from day one. So married 14 years, in therapy the whole 14 years. We were already, you know, just trying to figure our relationship out. And in no way were we close to getting divorced on the show. Like, that divorce wasn't even a word when I was filming Housewives. I just knew I was fighting for my marriage because we were in therapy and we were obviously having some issues, just normal human issues. There's so many factors. And I don't think that unless there's infidelity or something like that, I don't think there's one thing that can just tell her husband or wife that they were just going to call it quits. We tried really hard. And up until the end, we both were fighting for it. So Housewives definitely gave me thicker skin and maybe made me more of a stronger person. I don't think it affected my marriage to where that, I mean, we would have divorced on the show if it was the show.
Looking back, is there any part of your marriage or anything that you said to Jammer that he said to you, you wish they hadn't aired?
No, I mean, we didn't really talk bad to each other. I don't remember any scenes where we were ever, because we really didn't do much of that in our marriage anyways, you know, but no, I don't think so.
What would you say is the biggest difference in your marriage to Jim years ago versus the relationship that you're in now? Besides back then, you were sharing all the details with the rest of the world. Now you're
Well, I've still been sharing a little bit because we're still doing other little gigs here and there, Drew and I. But I just am a lot more myself. I'm free. I feel lighter, like you said, like we keep using these words, but it is true. Drew brings out it's just a lot of fun. He brings out a lot of my, you know, they say that there's that one person for you who is your one person. And I truly feel that if you're blessed enough in life to find that one person, then you really understand it and get it. I get it now with Drew because it's different. It's just easy. Like we don't ever fight. We haven't been to therapy once in 3 years. I think we've had on our hand, like maybe two arguments that are even close to like an argument, you know? So I think it's just easy when you find the person that you know how to communicate well with, you kind of just get them and they get you without, like it's an underlying, just, you just get each other. There's no trying hard or fighting for it, or it's just easy.
Lord, I see what you have done for others. Please, I see what you can do for me. Please send me a man that it just gets me and just makes my life easy. Please, please, Jesus. All right. Well, over the years, we saw you delve into many things. You jumped into acting. You did your dress line. You were at Fox 5 in San Diego. There is one scene of yours that always made me like, I had to cover my eyes because it hurt my soul a little bit. So we have to talk about it. It was the lady who you did your dress line with. I forget her name.
Halshen.
Yes, but it was whenever she had the sleeves and you didn't like the sleeves and you cut the sleeves off and she's like, please don't do it. And you're like, listen, the sleeves are coming off. I don't know what to tell you. So I was like, don't do that to her precious dress.
Oh my gosh. I forget some of these. That's so awesome. Funny.
So we talked about, you know, regrets in marriage. You say you're good. But with that being on the show, do you have any other regrets that come to mind as far as things that went down or things that you did?
Well, I definitely didn't like the scene where I admitted I had to take a quarter of a Xanax like that. Like, and then you even bring it up at the beginning of the podcast. Like, I don't really like that. That's, you know, plastered all over the nation now, but it was true. Like I kept waking up just in sweats and like my heart palpitating. So I called the doctor and I just explained, and they all knew that the show is very stressful and they knew what was going on in my life and everything. And so he's just like, you should just try half a Xanax or a quarter of a Xanax. And I'm like, well, I've never taken anything like that. So I think I'll start with a quarter. And I definitely didn't like the way it made me feel. But it did calm me down just to get through that one or two scenes that I knew were coming up. And I haven't had to take any since then, thank goodness. But that was definitely not. And then, you know, throwing up in my mouth with the Fargois was definitely not something that you want America to
San Francisco,
know.
Right? I forgot about that. That was the trip. What is this? Gang up on Vicky Day? I love that line. So during your time on the show, who would you say amongst all the cast members that came in and out was the most different on camera versus behind this, like off camera?
Wow. I kind of think maybe Gretchen, because I feel like Gretchen tried to like really steal like a lot. She really wanted to be in the limelight of the show a lot. So maybe her, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not trying to be rude, but the whole proposal to Slade thing was like.
Well, and they're still not married. I mean, but there, I don't have any room to talk because I might not marry Drew. I don't know what's going to, we have.
Well, yeah, but you also weren't out here planning rooftop proposals, girl, on national TV a decade ago. Okay. Do you still keep in touch with any producers or crew members?
Well, I mean, they reach out every once in a while if they want me to come in and do a cameo or whatever. You know, they did ask me back right when I got with Drew to come back on the show. And I had said no, just because of the exact reason, like I have to pop a Xanax for a TV show. Like it's not worth my health for that. But I totally am cool doing cameos here and there when they want it. So I definitely talk to them about that. And like, we do little housewife segments on their web TV and other things. So in that way, yeah. But I mean, I didn't like make best. I mean, when you're filming, you make really good friends with them because they're in your house all the time. You know, you're feeding them, you're, you know, whatever they need help with. But I didn't keep contact with any of them, but I like them all. I mean, they're all very sweet and awesome to work with.
So when you said they called you wanting you to come back with Drew, did they want you like full-fledged back? Did they say, we just want to come see what life's like? What was that proposal like?
It was all over the phone, but Andy Cohen did call and asked why I'm filming all these other shows if I'm going to say no to Bravo or to Housewives. And I just said, because the stress level of the other shows isn't, Housewives is amazing. And I love everything about what it taught me and my time on there. But I just feel like it's not for my health. I felt like I needed to, you know, it's not for everyone is what I'm trying to say, I guess. So then he said, well, what about just being a friend? Or maybe one of the producers had then said that. And I was just like, no. And I said, so then I called, I thought about it. And then I called back and I said, okay, I won't do either of those. But if you wanted me to come on for an episode, you know, which is the one you saw right when we gotten back from filming Below Deck at Thailand. Mm-hmm. I'm like, if you want just a catch up, I'll come do one cameo, but I don't want to be around Tamara. I don't want any of the drama. And so they liked that. There's talk right now about me coming back for a couple cameos on this season. I mean, the producer did reach out and ask. So this upcoming season, so I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Like season 16, the one that's shooting right now.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. Just so you know, I mean, I know that like, look, it is stressful being on the show. I do think that a friend role has evolved a lot on the show. Like if we look at a Kathy Hilton in Beverly Hills, like she's the star and she's a friend. And so just in the future, as someone who is like, who enjoyed really watching you on the show, just keep that in mind. It could work, you know?
Well, I think everyone wants to see the old Alexis that was more like stressed out, you know, and I did say this on one other podcast, which is the truth now. When I look back at everything, I would be a totally different character now because number one, I had three little kids that were consuming all of my time and a husband that I needed to dote on and, you know, almost like four kids in the same time. And then I had all those other little careers going in the works and filming Housewives. And I was fighting for my marriage. Like not, like I say, when I say fighting for marriage, I'm just saying it was a lot of work. We were really trying to make our marriage better. And I think that took most of my energy. I think now I would come back and I am so much lighter and so much different and just look perspective wise. Plus I'm not scared to say what I truly feel anymore. Like I was really nervous to ever like hurt anybody's feelings on there. But I realized you can talk to them and tell them something very firmly or really stand by your truth and your morals and not have to scream or yell, but still get the point across and be firm about it. And so I just think I've grown up a lot in that way. I'm not fighting for a marriage. I'm not trying to like spend so much energy there where I can't actually put energy somewhere else too now. So I would be totally different, but unfortunately, I'm really happy and, you know, the cameos are great for me.
I love, she's like, look, I'm happy and I'm not about to have y'all fuck with that. Okay, it's not happening.
I don't really want to ruin anything with Drew. I mean, if it is,
exactly. If it is
anything to an omen of, you know, the everyone divorces, I want no part of that.
Hell yeah. So a couple quick questions that came in from you from Instagram. Paige Davis asked, what is co-parenting with Jim like and how old are your kids now?
Okay, so my son, and if you get on my Instagram, you can see how big they are now. Like my son is almost the same size as Drew. He's 6'3" and a half. He's almost 6'4". Drew's 6'5". They share clothes. They share shoes. It's like crazy. They work out together and all that. So James is 15, almost 16. My twins are 13, almost 14. They're both as tall as me now, almost. I mean, and Kenna steals everything out of my closet. I mean, Em does too, but it's just funny how big they are and they're, you know, amazing. But co-parenting is difficult still. It still has its challenges. We work hard at trying it for it not to, but it is hard because especially when you're not under the same roof and you don't have the same, we just raise children a little bit differently, you know?
For sure. This is from Jilly Bean. Are you still upset about being called Jesus Jugs? I think it's iconic and you should own it is what Jilly Bean said.
Well, it doesn't bother me because they are huge and you know what else? I mean, you have to just own it, but I just think it's hysterical that she takes it from something positive from being called Jesus Barbie, you know, and then Tamara has to turn it into something so negative. And it's more about just using Jesus's name in a negative light instead of, I mean, I don't think he really truly cares, but that's all that really bothered me when it first happened. But now it is kind of iconic and it's funny. And
it's absolutely iconic. Yeah, I love it. And if you saw Tamara out right now, would you keep walking or would you say,
say hi? And I have seen her out and I do say hi, but definitely not much more.
So this is just a question for me, but before we wrap up, do you remember the day or like where you were when you found out that like you weren't going to be coming back to Housewives anymore? Was that your decision or was it a mutual decision
for
the network? How'd that go?
This is a good story. So my third season, that was the Costa Rica one. That's when I decided I'm not going to go back. So I had quit on that season. So before I went back on the fourth season, which would have been 5, 6, 7. So I quit on 7 and they came back and asked me back. And I said, I really don't want to. I don't think it's right for me. It really destroyed me from that. And through a lot of talks and negotiations, I decided I'd go back for season 8. And it actually ended up being a great season. And I loved it. And for some reason, you know, they didn't pick on me as much. I felt better about all of it. And I was still growing in my role and all of that. So then I was going to stay on. I was like, okay, if they ask me back for season 9, I'm going back again. And yeah. Then they let me go. So it was like, I was like, man, I was ready to quit on 7. And then you talked me into coming back and now you're letting me go? Like, how dare you? But
y'all really did that. That was messy. I love it. All right. Well, before we finish, we're going to do this is the game we play with everybody when we wrap up. It's our rapid fire Housewives questions game. We're going to put 60 seconds on the clock and we're going to get through as many of these as we possibly can. Are you ready?
Ready.
Last housewife you talked to from any city?
Emily.
Love that. If you saw Andy right now, what would you say to him?
Hey, honey, and go give him a big hug.
Aw. Are you surprised Gretchen and Slade are still together?
Oh, 50-50.
Okay.
Now they have a baby, so not so much.
There you go. If you see Tamara in heaven, are you going to say hi?
Well, I'm in heaven. Heck yes. We'll probably hug and kiss in heaven because it's all love there.
Reactions to Heather returning.
I'm so excited. And I do still talk to Heather too. So I'm happy that she's back.
Do you think Vicky and Tamara should come back?
Vicky, yes, because I still think she's hysterical and quirky and so fun in certain ways. Tamara, no. She's
a dumb. Sleepover with any cast member, who would it be if you had to have a sleepover?
Oh, I mean, God, there's a lot. There's Lydia, there's Heather, there's Emily, all the ones I talk to are blasting. I want to have a big one with all of them.
We're going to have a big all night. Okay, and then if you had to go Housewives All-Stars with one person, who would it be?
Lydia.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Well, before we go, tell everybody where they can find you on social and then tell everybody about the fashion collab. You sent me pictures of you in these awesome hats. So tell everybody where they can get that stuff.
Well, that's the Laguna Beach straw hat that I'm wearing in that one. And it comes in 3 colors. It's from my Alexis by Glitzy Bella line. You can find it at glitzybella.com and then just type my name and you see all my products. The Glitzy Bible that you love, the Bible that's Swarovski'd and all that. They're all there.
Iconic.
So that straw hat just came out and it's been an amazing seller, even though that is the end of the summer. But, you know, the white and blue is just too hard to pass up because everybody wants that hat and then the black too. But you can find me at Alexis_Bellino for Instagram and then Alexis Bellino for Twitter. And that's it.
I just have one more question that I have to ask Alexis. Alexis.
I'm scared.
Where is Costa Rica?
Isn't it still in Mexico?
She said it's in Mexico, so it's south, right? Okay, we had to cut. That was one of the funniest confessional moments of my entire life.
Oh my god! And right after I said it, which they cut out, but I was like, "Don't play that!" I'm like, "No!" And then
meanwhile, the logger in the back's like, "Pull this, pull this,
he's
pull
like,
this."
He's like putting it in bright red, bright yellow, with the like italics. This is the best one.
Oh, I love it. Okay, we had to come back for that. All right, that's it, everybody. And then before we go. In honor of the namesake of my podcast and in honor of the iconic insult that Kim Richards threw towards Brandi Glanville in Real Housewives of Beverly Hills season 2, can you just say, you are a slut pig?
You are a slut pig.
Iconic. Jesus Judge just said slut pig, y'all. All right, everybody, there you have it. The one and only. The new Alexis, absolutely. All right, everybody, that is all for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Everything from Honey, Potomac, to New York, to Beverly Hills, to Alexis Bellino. I had a really great time, and I hope you did too. We will be back next week with more Potomac, and we're going to say goodbye to Real Housewives of New York City season 13 next week, and Real Housewives of Beverly Hills episode title next week is called The Dinner Party from Hell Part 2. So get your bodies ready. I'll see y'all next week. One more thing for you to remember, if you want to connect with other people who are just as passionate about pop culture and television as you, go to thedip.com. That's the dip with 2 P's, DIPP.com, and use code SLUTPIG for 20% off of your membership.